If you would, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And in our looking at the Gospel of John, John is the last living apostle. He's the last writer God is going to use before he closes his word until he comes. And the Gospel of John has to do with summing up, along with Revelation and that, bringing together the wonderful person of God in Christ. And all of yesterday and all of the Old Testament and all of history is brought together at that point. And John brings it together in the light of his wonderful person, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now, when you're coming in, as we shared together, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. And we came down to verse 5. And remember, we shared together, the light shineth in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. The word comprehend means to put out the light, to extinguish the light, to overcome, to overpower, to seize, to overwhelm. Darkness was unable to put out the light, to control the light, to stop the light, period. Couldn't stop yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It can never stop the light. Put out the light, extinguish the light. The light always prevails. And so, having said that, and knowing the light never fails, in darkness, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And we share together in the light of that, that the God had given, gives light, and we looked at that in the words that in verse 4, etc., verse 3 and 4. And God, who is light, made light darkness, and then Genesis 1, 2, and then he made it light, Genesis 1, 3. He made light daylight and nighttime, sun to rule by day, the moon by night, stars by night, to give us light, to help us understand the whole purpose is for God to bring light. God in whom is light. He is light and in whom is no darkness. God is going to bring light into the darkness. And darkness must yield ultimately. And the powers of darkness, the Lucifer, son of the morning, who was light, became dark. And God, the whole contest is about that wonderful outworking, that God would demonstrate light by giving life. And thus we read and knew together, God gives all everything that has any living thing, everything that has life. Existence is because of Jesus Christ. He is the life of all living, the source, the cause. And in the light of that, all of that is made to honor the Creator. And thus, in verse 4, to him was life, and the life was the light of men. That living, every only living beings can respond to the Creator. You have to be created to be able to enjoy the Creator. God gave us life, physical existence, so that we could honor the Creator. And thus we are living. And God, who made us alive, made it so that we would have light to know why we were born. Why are we here? What on earth is going on? We're made alive so that we can have light, so that we can understand the God who created us and the reason for our creation, light. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, you may want to go over, just for the sake of being of help, over, if you would, please, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And if you would, in 105, just to get the thought, 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word lamp, a light, a burning, that which burns, that which is a lamp, a candle, candle holder, something that burns, something that lights, that can be lit. It is used of the nomads who lived in tents and dwellings, and they needed light, and the lights, the candle, lampstand. They had light, the oil lamps to light. They needed light. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, you want me, a living person, to have to know you. And you give light. You are light. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world. And you make it possible for me to know who I am and why I'm here, and to honor you. Thus over in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. For the commandment, like the word, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. God gives us understanding so that we would know how to act, how to proceed down the corridor of time. God gives us his word, which is a light, and as a lamp, his word. Now, thus, why is he giving it? Because, over, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs 13 and verse 9, God has created us for light. The light of the righteous, verse 9, 16, 13 and 9, the light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. So hang on, here's light, and the heart is to have light, and that is the right thing to have for the right reasons, so that you can understand God, the Creator, the Savior. And if you reject that light, then you have no light. God offers the light, Romans 1, to every human being. But they can turn off God, reject, and thus there is no light. Hang on now, over to chapter 20. And you would know, please, chapter 20, and picking up, please, in verse 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness, no light at all. Well, what lamp is it that the person has? What is it that a person has that can give light? Verse 27, the spirit of man, not the spirit of God, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God made you body, soul, spirit. The body is for world consciousness. The soul is for self-consciousness. And the spirit is for God consciousness, to know God. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and truth. So we're looking to God. The God gave us a spirit. And that spirit is like a candle. And the word of God, the word of God sheds light and gives light and makes possible light. And so as the heart of man turns to God and looks to God and receives the wonderful blessing of God, then God lights the candle, lights, gives spiritual life. Receive the Lord as your Savior, get spiritual life. And the spirit, as it were, is a candle and lights. And the whole body is full of light in the sense that you have the wonderful reality of God's wonderful person. So we're sensitive to God. How? God gives us the capacity to enjoy light. He gives us that which can be lit, a relationship to God spiritually that gives the light that God has to our heart. Now, having said that, Having said that, you would remember the tabernacle. The tabernacle was in the middle of Israel. And the tabernacle is covered with coats of skin. The least beautiful skin, the least picturesque skin, the least decorative skin is the outside. And they go inside in order. Beautiful. But on the outside is the blandest, nothing skin. And so if you'd look at the tabernacle, here's the 12 tribes of Israel, three on each side all around the camp. Here's the tabernacle, and here's the skin. And you only see skin, except you do know something else. In the skin, with the skin, up above the skin, is a cloud coming out of that holy of holy place. Holy place in the holy of holies. Out of the tabernacle is a cloud as a light. And a cloud by day and a fire by night. And so the skin, out of the skin comes a wonderful, wonderful expression of God's presence. And within the tabernacle, as you go in, there is the table of showbread, and there is the lampstand, the menorah, the candle, the lampstand. And the lampstand lights, the only light in there, in that dark, dark, skin-covered tent, is the light that is given off by that lampstand. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. And here is Israel looking. And what do they know? They know there's a tent. Light. They know there's a cloud. They know there's the fire. They know from the priest and their wonderful education that they would at least have that. There is the table of showbread, one loaf for every single tribe, covering every single person in Israel. The light, so that you can enjoy the bread, so that you can enjoy the relationship, so that you could be in the tabernacle and have a wonderful sense that you could see and understand all that was there. Now, having said that, and so the Lord Jesus, and that was the sign. So Israel had the tabernacle, the temple, tabernacle and the temple. And all of their life in the desert and in the land, they had a witness, a wonderful exposure by signs and wonders and miracles, as it were, especially in the wilderness of God's keeping caring for them. Wow. God, what have you done now? You sent your Son, the Word become flesh. The Word become flesh. And how is he going to show himself? With signs, he's just flesh and blood. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How are you going to understand? He's going to do signs and wonders and miracles. And all of them are to get you to pay attention to who is under the skin. God in the flesh. Signs, wonders, miracles. Wow. Now, having said that, so that we can understand the Creator, the one who made us, that we can have the light and exercise, the light is given to exercise life, and life is given to, and the more life we exercise, the more light we have. Wonderfully, wonderfully so. Now, over in 1 John chapter 1. Did you get there already? You did. Hang on to that and stop just to remind you, it's real easy to see. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. Remember now, the living, you have to have life. God made all the living so that they, and then he gives them light so that they can enjoy the life that God intended them to have. But you have to be alive, existence, to be able to have light. Everything has light. Light is necessary for the world's existence, light. Now, chapter 4, verse 17. This matter This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones. Now, underline at least in your mind, to the intent, to the purpose, that the living people, living things, living may know what? That the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, so all the kingdoms and all the rulers and all the countries and all the communities are there, and there is someone over them all, even the living God, the Most High God, ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest, the lowliest of men. God, that's right, we're all alive on planet Earth, and God made us alive, and God wants you to know that all the governments and all the stuff going on, it exists. God allows it to live and exist so that you can awaken to the fact that there is the Most High God ruling over it all. Now, having said that, in John chapter 1, God is going to give light to people. People need light to know, to understand. You can't understand in the dark. Darkness conceals, light reveals. So here in John chapter 1, verse 3, and the light shineth. It is shining in the darkness. The light is shining in the darkness. Now, going, if you would, just to catch it, in verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him, I'm going to stop right there, without him. Now, slide your eye down again. Without him, verse 4, in him was life. In him was life. Sliding down again, if you would, to verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man which cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. It's about him, the Word become flesh. The Word of God, God the Word. It's about him, and he is the source. Thus, in verse, he's the, that everyone, the purpose, verse 7, the same came unto a wit, but for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might be saved, might believe. So the purpose is for everyone to believe the light. To believe the light so that you can have the life. To believe the light of God who is light and in him is no darkness. Verse 10, remember, the world, the end of verse 10, they knew him not. They rejected the light. Verse 11, the Jewish people who should have received him not. They knew him not. They received him not. The Creator whose creation gives constant witness to his purposeful design. Always there. The eye to see the obvious. To see, to understand. The microscope to see that which is below. The telescope to see that which is above. To be able to understand, to pay attention to the wonderful world in which we live, to see it, to understand it. And thus the earthly realities, the flower that blooms was within a seed, a little seed. And if you took the little seed and looked at it, you'd throw it away, you'd neglect it, you'd walk away from the seed. What's a little seed? Except that the little seed is given the right kind of conditions. The little seed, the sun, light, rain, etc. And all of that wonderful thing, it makes it blossom. And out of a little seed comes the flower, and the flower blooms. God, what have you done? You've made us alive so that you could come and bring forth from our humanity the wonderful purpose you made it, so that you could bring forth the beauty of your wonderful person out of our life, in our life, and out of our life. God, a unique relationship to you. That's what it's all about. Like the seed, here we are, God, to bring life from us. Now, having said that, verse in keeping in mind now that John's wonderful assignment is to bring everything together. The gospel, John the Baptist, because that's verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist has a wonderful, wonderful assignment. He's to bring together everything out of yesterday and to bring it all together in the light of all of the prophets and all of the Old Testament and all of the truth from Moses all the way down. John, your wonderful assignment is to bring it all together. That's right. Just like take all those little pieces. Just think of grass and dew, the little water drops that could be from the evening in the sunlight, sitting on the grass, on the flowers, on the leaves. And each little drop of dew reflects the fullness of the sun. Not part of the sun. The little drop reflects the fullness of light and allows the light to shine forth from its reflection to reflect the light. Wow. All of these Old Testament prophets, all of the seers and all of the priests and all of the wonderful revelation. God, you brought it forth. What is John's wonderful ministry? John's wonderful ministry, remember, he is the greatest and the last. He's the greatest of all women born. He is the greatest prophet. He's the last Old Testament prophet. He is the greatest Old Testament prophet. The Lord said it himself. He is the greatest, born of a woman. Now, why are you the greatest, John? Because you said, I must decrease that he might increase. I'm not worthy to tie his shoelace. John, what is your assignment? And why, God, do you take time to, in the Gospel of the Apostle John writing, the penman, why do you take time to pinpoint John the Baptist? Why? He's the greatest. And the John the Baptist ministry, he pointed to the Word of God. He pointed to the life of God. He pointed to the Son of God. He pointed to the light of God. And all of it reflects his wonderful person, God. God's wonderful person reflected in the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, the inwards of the Father, he hath declared or explained him or expounded him. He has exegeted him. Brought him forth. You couldn't see God. God's invisible. Infinite. You'll catch that tonight at 6 o'clock. Infinite. Wow. That's right. Infinite. So God, God says, no one could see me. No, and I'm everywhere. There is no end to me. In fact, there's nothing outside of me. Well, here we are. Then we're going to look to you, God. And how are we going to know you? Well, God sent his Son. And God brought himself in the person of his Son so that we could know. The Word become flesh and dwelt among us. And all of the Old Testament prophets, John sums them all up. He brings all of their message. What was their message? It was all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Over, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke. Hold your finger here. To the Gospel of Luke, not far away. To chapter 24, probably a page away, maybe. Luke 24. God, what do we know about all the prophets and psalms? John, what's your purpose? I'm going to tell you. It's to let you know what all of history has been about. Chapter 24, Luke, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning, what? Himself. Moses, prophets, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Search the scriptures, John 5:39. It's all about me. If you read the scriptures and you don't find me, you're misreading them. John, what is your assignment? To bring all of that wonderful truth to the front And you're the greatest of all because you bring together and summarize all of them by pointing to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, having that in mind, over, if you would, to, you're right here, John chapter 1, verse 23. John's wonderful ministry. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, John 1, 23. In the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Remember Isaiah chapter 40, God predicts John the Baptist is going to come. He's the forerunner. He runs ahead of the Lord. He runs ahead to tell him, he's coming. He's right behind me. I'm the voice. Pay attention. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then the Lord Jesus will pick it up. John, what is your wonderful ministry? It's to point to the Lord God, the Word become flesh, which everything is about it. And John, your ministry is to point him out. Wow. Now, having said that, over to Revelation, if you would, chapter 1. Just to do it again, so there's no question. Revelation, chapter 1. And if I may, Revelation 1 and in verse 2. Remember now, I'm just going to do it quickly, but you get the idea. Who bear record, John, servant, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus, the bearing witness, that which is born, which points to the Lord Jesus Christ, which the Lord Jesus Christ points to. Testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. John's ministry, John the Apostle, was to point out the Lord Jesus Christ in his wonderful testimony of all that he is. It's all about him. So when you come over to Revelation 19, you know, Revelation chapter 19, and picking up in verse 10, 19 and 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. The testimony that they have, that have the brethren, we all have angels honor him. Hebrews 1, angels all point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Humans all point to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all the same page. We angels, verse 10, angels, men, humans. We're pointing to God, the Creator. I'll read 10 again. I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ, that bear witness of who Jesus Christ is. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's all of the prophets. So to say it, the Lord Jesus Christ gives his word. How? The Spirit of God's ministry is to communicate the word of God to the prophets. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. All the prophets are moved by the Holy Ghost, and they only can speak the word of God because of him. He makes possible all the word of God. That settles that one. That's what he does. So all the prophets bear witness. The Lord gave it. And all of the things that the prophets say come back to the one who said it. So it's subjective and objective. Subjective, God says it, and God gets all the glory back. God makes it known, and God brings it all back to himself. He's the one. God makes the word known. God makes prophecy known. John, your wonderful ministry is to sum it all up. Now, if you would, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, add in verse 6. We'll read it and take a little thought or two to get the idea. That's all about John. But the subject isn't John, as you'll see. It isn't about John. John had a ministry about someone else. That's about the someone else. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The word of God always is the word of God. John is sent at a point of time in history. The Lord Jesus Christ has no history. He's timeless. John isn't. The man's name is John. Verse 7. The same John came for what reason? To bear testimony of the light. God has given light. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of men. Verse 7. To bear witness of the light, that all men, through him, through John, might believe. John is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, pointing to them. And everyone, all believers, are to be lights. The Lord Jesus Christ will say of John, he is a bright and shining light. John is. His witness, John's the Baptist, is light. Light. To let men know, repent and be saved. Light. For people to know God the Creator, the Word become flesh. So now in the light of that, in the light to bear witness to the light, in verse 7, through him might believe, that they might be believing. All men might be believing. Having a personal experience. Prepared. John was prepared. John was readied, John the Baptist, to bear testimony to who he is. He was born for that reason. Born for it. God raised him up. God raised him up from people that couldn't have any children. God raised up this man. God raised him up. Now. And thus John speaks. He speaks. And it has to be very clear that he is the voice speaking of the Lamb. Over in verse 129, you know, without too much. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the Lord John the Baptist's ministry is to point out the Lamb, to point out the Son of God, to point out the light. He is a light to tell others of the light. He witnesses of the light. And he makes the light, the purpose of the light is to know God the Creator. Now, in the light of that, verse 8, he was not the light. He was not the light. He never was the light. In the past, future, or present, he never is the light. Never. Never is the word. Verse 8, he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He was sent to bear witness, record, concerning the light. Verse 9, that was the true light. That was the true light. And that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And now, and you don't want to think of John isn't the light coming to men. That was the true light. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true light. And he which is the true light is going to light every man, going to make it possible for everyone to have light, present tense, to light every man. He's the one. He came, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes into the world to give light to every human being, to make it possible for them to be saved. Now, how do you know? When Christ died, he died for how many? The sin of the world. Did he die for Adam and Eve and the little baby that's born in the millennium? He died for all of them. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light. God gives the life and the light of our Lord Jesus Christ so that all, everyone, everywhere is able to understand and know the Creator. Christ made it possible for all of them to know. He is the true light, and he is able to light, give light to every human being that would receive him, not reject him, but receive him. Light cometh into the world, And men love darkness rather than light. But he is the light that comes. And everyone has the right to believe. Now, here in verse 9, he is the true, real, genuine light. Absolutely true and real. Over to John chapter 6, just to say it again. John chapter 6, and in verse 32. 6 and 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father, that's the manna in the wilderness, but my Father giveth you the true bread, true, genuine, real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he, is a person, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He comes to give life. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John, what is your ministry? To cause people to believe. On what? On you? No, on him. On the one who I bring. I am the voice. I bring together all of history, biblical history, to point to the one. The one. Without question. Without debate. Without dialogue. The one. Now. Thus, John chapter 7. John chapter 7, please, and in verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and you know whence I came, where I am, whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, genuine, real, whom you know not. You don't know him. He sent me so that you could have light and thus life. But you don't know him. Over, if you would, to chapter 17. Chapter 17. Our Lord Jesus in the upper room, chapter 17, and in verse 3. I'll read verse 2 for a little context. And as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life. What's that? That thou might know thee, the only true God, true, genuine, real, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now, God sent his Son, the Word become flesh. John the Baptist's ministry is to point to the Word become flesh, who fulfills the whole ball game. It's all about God. God in Christ. Christ in God. Now, over if you would please. In your Bible, remember now, the world received him not. The Jews, the world knew him not. The Jews received him not. And light had come. And God, every God knows the hearts of people. And God came to give them light in their darkness, if they would but receive it. Now, so all prophecy, John brings it all together, as we said. He is the witness of all the witnesses. Of all the witnesses, he's the witness. Because he points to the one. They all talked and pointed. He is the final one to point to him. Now, over if you would, to 1 John. The first epistle of John. And in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 1, John the Apostle is going to tell us about him, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, made public, clear, plain, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. That eternal life, even God. God is life. Which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, so John the Apostle is going to send it home. That's why he put John the Baptist. John the Baptist says he's the one. And so, John, you're the last living apostle. What are you going to say? He's the one. So he's the one, John the Baptist, and then you got the outworking of history where we are. Now, John, what are you going to tell us as we're in this part of history down here? What do we need to know so we don't get all confused? We don't get cluttered, our mind cluttered with who's who and what's what and why is it and how do we know? God help us, all right? 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, please. Remember now the Lord John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And John is to bear witness to who he is. I am but a voice. I point to him. Him. Here we are in the presence of God. God, how are we going to honor you? How are we going to know you? Ah, John, way back then, the invisible, infinite God. Here we are. The sun shines by day. And the whole world enjoys the benefits of the sun. God, you have made the sun. And you have given the sun, S-O-N, so that we could have light. Light indeed. Not just living, but life that goes with it. Now, 1 John chapter 5, picking up please. If I may, in verse 7, "For there are three that bear record witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness and record and testimony in earth, the Spirit of God and the water and the blood. These three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men," and we do, we do, we do. People, you read papers, you hear things on the news. And whether it's right or wrong, twisted, distorted, you hear it, you hear it, you hear it. And we believe a lots of things we hear and that we read that the world puts out. And we do it. Therefore, since we are able to believe and receive what people say, and we do, we count it and we act on what people say. Therefore, if you do that, and we do. There's no one that doesn't do it. Verse 9. "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son." You've got a whole history summed up in by one man, pointing to the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the whole outworking of where we are, the Apostle John. What are you telling us? We have a record, a testimony, a witness that God has given his Son. God has given himself. Therefore, verse 10, "He that believeth on the Son of God," remember the end of verse 9, "he which testifieth of the Son, very special, not just Jesus, the Son. The Son. God gave his Son. The Son. You can write, you can say Jesus and make that little or nothing. You can't do that with a Son of God. The Son of God who is Jesus Christ. Thus, "he that believeth on the Son of God," verse 10, "hath the witness in himself, the testimony in himself." He knows. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you do that, look at verse 5 up above. "For who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" When a person comes to know the Lord as their Savior, is it not true? Romans 8, Galatians 4, 14, 15 of Romans, Galatians 4, 6. Is it not true that the Spirit of God, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Spirit of God, one of his many wonderful ministries, the first thing he's going to do is to help you be able to say, to be able to understand your unique relationship to the Creator. And he'll come into our heart crying so that he says it so we can say it, Abba what? Father. you have the witness in your own heart. Say it, Father. You see, if you believe men, you ought to believe God. And when you believe God, you know it's right. You're locked on. Or otherwise, you're not believing. You're playing with it. God, it's you. You've given your word to point to you. Thus. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, the witness that God gave of his Son. Now, it's his Son. I'm playing with it. I have to believe this and not believe that. But then I'm playing with what God has said. And I can't play with what God has said. I can't play with what God has said. I may not understand it, but I can't play with it. No, I can't. Not without God. I may not understand it at all, but you said it. You're true, real, and genuine God. You are that God. That's right. Then I am going to have to yield to you. I listen to men and people. I had better listen to you, the Son of God, the person of God. I've got to listen to you. Thus. And I don't want to call you a liar. I don't want to do that. Men love darkness rather than light. They don't want to know anything. I do. We want to know. We want to know, why am I alive? Why am I here? Why am I going through what I am? Why? God, I'm going to have to come to you. Verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is where? In his Son. That's what John the Baptist's ministry is for, to tell you where it is. There's one. Everything comes together. So you say, well, how about all these pieces? All the pieces mesh together in a great cohesion. And God, there he is. There's the whole book you've got in your hand, hopefully the Bible, and you can take the whole Bible and hold it to your chest, and there's one message out of it. God, that's God's book. God gave you the book. God gave you the book. God. If you don't know anything, God. See? Wow. Now, so, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How are you going to sum up John the Apostle? What is humanity going to do with that great testimony of who you are, God? They're either going to believe or not believe. Verse 13, if you have the Son, then you have life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The whole issue is to get you to know the person, honor the person of God, believe, rest your whole case, trust your whole heart, put all your confidence, all your reliance, your full commitment to the God who is who he is. And he gives you light, not in the darkness. That's why you got the Bible, so you don't have to be in the dark. You know why. That's why you believe. Why? Not from the Book of Mormon, not from Life magazine. Do they still print it? Whatever it is, Newsweek, whatever. What difference does it make? No, God, you've given your word, and we listen to people. Then we ought to listen to you. Yeah. These things have I written that I might know. That's why we're reading. And thus, that's why John wrote. Verse 20 in closing. We know that the Son of God, always the Son of God, God. We know that the Son of God is come. We sure do. And hath given us an understanding. If I pay attention, I got a little bit. Understanding. What's the purpose? That we may know him. What's the purpose? So that I can be an intellect? No. Then I have a relationship. I know a person. I can have God hug me and I can hug him. And as we said in the men's thing, God loves us totally with his full being. And he expects our response of our full being. And God, in his wonderful grace, in his wonderful kindness, when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, places us in Christ. Right in the middle of Christ. Right in the middle of God. God is love. Right in the middle of the love of God. God, and then you tell me, I'm to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I gave you my son. I loved you and gave my life for you. I gave my son so that I can house you, God. You house me in your love. And I house you in my love. You see? Verse 20. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding that we may know him that is true, genuine, real. And we are in him who is true, genuine, real. We're in him. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and what? Eternal life. They got it all summed up. John's the wonderful ministry, and that's why in John 1, 6, 7, and 8, and a little bit thereafter, it's John's wonderful ministry. That's why he's the greatest and the last, because he brings it all together and says, Jesus Christ, the living and only God. Here he is. He made possible light so that you could have his life, so that you could understand what it's all about. It's about a person. Don't try to get intellectual with it. Don't try to play a game with it. You'll never get there. You'll never get there. Your heart, you're talking about a God whose ways and thoughts are what? Higher than the what? Heavens. You're going to get down and analyze? Try it. Try it. We read as clearly, as simply as we could, in brevity. We read it. It's so much more beyond that, God. You're the infinite God, and you make it possible for us finite creatures, like a little drop of dew, a little seed. You're able to make it so that we could discover why on earth we're here. For you to be who you are, to be our Creator, for us and our Redeemer, for us to glorify you and honor you. To you, the only living God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Father in God, thank you for thy word and help us a little bit in seeking to try to understand it, God, to come to grips with that which is infinite in the light of our finiteness, to be able to enjoy the immensity in our littleness. God, thank you. Thank you for being clearly and wonderfully who you are. You have made it clear without debate, without question, by way of your resurrection from the dead. You have given life. You have given light and life that we could know you. And we become lights. We are to be lights, burning bright in this world, pointing to you. Where on earth did you get your candle, your spirit lit? Where did you get to know the Lord? How did you have this kind of life? Because the life came from you, God. The life is provided by way of your Son, by way of his sacrifice, his substitution, to save such as me, to save such as us. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that.